don't have any headphones.
I can still hear it because the captain like plays it really loud, so I don't really need him.
Hello, and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. I'm McGee, the NPCECCC. Across the table from me, we have Lanny, call sign Tree Skirt.
Hey there.
To my left is McGee, the old sage of the prep and landing team.
I think you meant Wayne.
Oh, sorry. What did I say?
McGee.
Oh, I'm McGee. You're Wayne. Sorry.
I have a...
Yeah. No, there you go.
Split personality disorder.
I have some ornaments.
Okay, so I have Wayne, the longtime prep and landing elf.
Hi there, everybody.
And to my right is Thrasher.
I'm a myth.
Yeah, you said it just like that. I'm a myth.
You should see me fly. I'm like lightning. As Hurley would say, I'm spry.
But for those of you who want to know who we really are, my name's Rebecca. And to my right is Doobie. To my left is Fanboy. And across the table...
The handsome one. I don't know.
The captain.
Hi.
And this is Laughing Place Podcast. What, Jamie?
Are you
numbering it correctly? 135?
Give or take one. Okay. I think I updated it.
I don't have my Smarties this week.
Oh, we can
rectify that.
In the kitchen. Do you
the
want
bag's still there?
Yeah.
You need your line?
We are the most tinsel podcast out there, right?
Yeah.
Tinsel. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Oh, yeah. I wanted to wish everyone out there happy holidays.
Okay.
Holidays.
When the merry bells
There's multiple
ringing.
Of them.
Well, there are. I'm not one to be anti-Merry Christmas. It's just so happens that
there are numerous ones going on.
I know for a fact that we have listeners of all varieties.
We're like the Baskin and Robbins.
They're all the
We also have New Year's.
Oh, of course.
Proxy Day. Usually the first week of January, probably before we record again.
New Year's Eve.
That's not a holiday.
It is. January 7th, National Championship Day.
Oh, yeah. On ABC and ABC TV.
Where's that played this year?
The Rose Bowl.
That's just weird, because there's also the Rose Bowl on the 1st.
Right.
Is 6 days enough to turn that around?
UCLA in the Rose Bowl this year?
The Sands.
UCLA in a bowl this year?
I do think they're going to a bowl, actually. I think they got the requisite 6 wins, and they travel well. Anyway,
we have a lot of news to get to, and before I have to declare figgy pudding on this podcast,
uh-oh, that would be bad.
We best get moving.
Hey, welcome back. It's been a while since you've heard from us.
Yep.
The good news is we still got sponsors. LaughingPlace.com. Why did I say that? Sponsor Vacation.
Oh, official podcast. Official website of Laughing Place Podcast.
They sponsor us now?
Wow.
Yeah, see, all this time we were just using their name.
SponsorVacations.com. They are the place to book your Disney trip because they're really, really good. We've used them. We love them. And we're going to be talking about some cruise and Adventure by Disney stuff later in this show. And remember, if you want to go, there's no reason to book directly with Disney because you're going to get the same price with incredible service by booking with our sponsor, MouseyVacations.com. Tell them we sent you. They'll take care of you. Don't tell them we sent you. They'll still take care of you because they're great. Our other sponsor is HojoAnaheim.com, which is the website for Howard Johnson's of Anaheim. We stay there whenever we go to the Disneyland Resort and need a place to stay, and as do many annual pass holders. In fact, we were just there a couple weeks ago for our 10th anniversary meet, and I know that I think most of our out-of-town readers were staying at Howard Johnson's of Anaheim because that's where the hip dogs hang. So, HojoAnaheim.com. HojoAnaheim.com, MouseyVacations.com. Be there or be square.
Is that where the old dogs hang?
They'll talk about that movie
yeah,
later.
Sadly. And also want to mention, you can reach us at podcast@laughingplace.com. You can post a message on discussion boards. You can call us at 866-718-9408. That's toll-free, which means nothing in the cell phone age. And
except you get charged.
Except I get charged. Boy, that's dumb. And with that, we would like to do something that we sadly have to do every now and then. And this is one of those times a couple hours before we went to start a recording today. Wednesday, December 16th, we heard that Roy Disney, what is his official title right now with the company?
He was chairman emeritus and consultant to the Walt Disney Company.
So, and sadly, he's passed away today, this morning, at the age of 79 of cancer. So, let's talk Roy Disney.
Kind of weird. I mean, look at it this way. I'm, I mean, I don't mean to make light of it, but I'm glad it didn't happen yesterday because that'd be kind of creepy.
Yesterday being Walt Disney's, the anniversary of Walt Disney's death, December 15th. Roy Disney, as much as he's done with the company, both, you know, in his younger days and in his executive days.
Well, I think a lot of people just think of him as, you know, kind of the nephew of Walt. And
right.
He actually had a hands-on role in the company.
When Walt was around and after.
Mm-hmm. But he directed some films.
But, I mean, as important as that stuff is, and his role is, what was he? He was head of feature animation or chairman of feature animation at some point, you know, back in the glory years of the New Mermaid and all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what he really is known for is saving the Walt Disney Company at least once, maybe twice. And by
That's
saving,
true.
We mean saving, at least for the first time, truly saving the Walt Disney Company. Fanboy, that's kind of your era.
Your expertise.
As things sort of started to go downhill with the, you know, Ron Miller, Card Walker, Don Tatum era, he got with Sid and, not Sid and Marty Bass, but Sid Bass. And, decided to, you know, install new leadership and brought on Frank Wells, Michael Eisner, and Jeffrey Katzenberg. And despite what you might think of them in the future, they definitely saved the company from being split up or being taken advantage by corporate raiders. You know, I mean, we were staring at a time when the Disney Studios could be owned by a completely different company than the Disney Parks. So, you know, definitely, I mean, theme parks, you had Splash Mountain, animation, you had The Little Mermaid, you know, live action, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and things like that, you know, definitely created at least a decade of great Disney era. I mean, as far as probably, I mean, second golden age, not only just of animation, but sort of the company. And then,
And grew the company, not just great work, but I mean, the company went from, you know, a big company to a huge company.
Yeah, I mean, a component of the Dow.
Yeah. It was quite a time, and Roy Disney ushered that time in.
Right. And, you know, it's for the guy that was known for making, you know, those boring danger documentaries. No, I mean, not no disrespect, but not something like all the Disney fans are really passionate about for the most part. You know, to being the one that really, you know, fought for animation and made sure that, you know, movies like The Little Mermaid was made and created the Walt Disney Company as we know it. And then again, you know, when he started to feel things went awry, start putting pressure on Michael Eisner, and I think it's a, you know, it would be, well, you can never be certain. I'm pretty sure Michael Eisner would still be here if there wasn't the pressure of the fact that, you know, he had a 48% no confidence vote at the shareholder meeting. That
wow.
was, you know, and that you're talking about, you know, Roy owns about 1% of the shares. So it's not like, you know, he voted his 20% and then, you know, a couple of Disney fans went along with him. I mean, you know, he got these major institutional investors to agree that there needed to be a change at the Walt Disney Company. And then, which allowed for Bob Iger, which at first, you know, they kind of fought, but he made peace with Bob Iger. And, you know, then you're talking about the Pixar acquisition and the sort of creative resurgency that, you know, Disney being considered the best run entertainment company once again. So,
it's great that, I mean, obviously no one else could have done it probably, but it's nice that there's three great people in this company's history, I think, thus far, and they're all Disney's. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, and it's, I guess that's what makes it sort of bittersweet. I mean, not that, you know, it's not – he was not just a name. He wasn't just the guy that worked – I mean, maybe later on. But, you know, he wasn't just – we're not sad because he was just a Disney that passed away. But he was someone that did good work at the Walt Disney Company. That his legacy at the company – I mean, his headline is not Roy Disney, you know, son of – nephew of Walt Disney passes away. Roy Disney, who – ushered in second golden age of Disney animation, passes away. And
there's a lot of people who like to think of themselves as kind of the keepers of the Disney flame, but he truly was, and he's right. probably the only person that could be. Hopefully, he's not needed again.
Right. Well, and that's you know, and that's what's kind of, I don't want to say, you know, scary, but you know, the only person that probably has as much influence as he does right now is John Lasseter. You know, who obviously isn't a Disney. I mean, you could say, you know, same ideals maybe, or but he's not. He doesn't have. His name's not on the door. His name will never, hopefully, be on the door.
Right.
So, Well, I thought it should always be the Walt Disney Company, not the, you know, Disney, oh, this Lasseter guy, just, you know, it's like Anheuser did okay, but now we brought in Bush. So let's make it Anheuser-Busch. You know, it should always be the Walt Disney
like
Company.
Disney Lasseter Incorporated.
Right, exactly.
The law firm.
Yeah.
I thought Lasseter's
Morgan and Morgan
remarks were...
and Lasseter.
For the people.
I thought Lasseter's remarks offered an interesting insight. He's quoted in the Disney obituary... company obituary that they put out. He says, I first met Roy when I was still an animation student at CalArts. Not only did I consider him a personal friend, but he was a great man who believed deeply in the art of animation. He put his heart and soul into preserving Disney's legendary past while helping to move the art of animation into the modern age by embracing new technology. Roy was a visionary and passionate supporter of the art form, and he was all about quality. I was always impressed that he would make time for someone like me when I was fresh out of college, and he continued to support and encourage me throughout my career. I think that's an interesting to hear a lot of the words that are used when talking about his father and his uncle, reflected here in John Lasseter's remembrances of Roy. Another thing that when I think of Roy Disney as a Disney, as a fan, I think of environmentality because he was always at the Jiminy Cricket Environmentality Challenge Awards presentations that I would attend out in California. So I always associated him with Disney's kind of environmental efforts. And I think that's also due to the fact that his connection to the True Life adventures and then going on eventually now he was involved in yachting. You know, he just always was kind of more the outdoors. And then the other thing that I associate him with is just the rebirth of animation, even just Fantasia 2000, while it may not have been a colossal box office success, I mean, it was a really interesting breakthrough into IMAX, presenting animation on IMAX. You had a blend of various different types of animation art forms in there. And you also had a rebirth of Mickey Mouse on the screen because they included Sorcerer's Apprentice. So those are just some of the things... When I heard of Roy's passing, that kind of, came to mind for me.
Well, they, I got to meet Roy a couple times, and he was always gracious and took time to talk to me. And I'm by no means anybody of importance. But, just the fact that he would take a moment to talk to a Disney fan who I'm sure at times he has, guess like, oh, here's another one. But you didn't feel that way when you talked to him. And I hope this isn't tasteless with hindsight, but I'm talking to Roy and Patty Disney, his wife, comes up and he goes, oh, I'll be with you in one moment, and finishes this thought with me before he starts talking to his wife. Not that I wanted to be more important than his wife, but it's just like I didn't feel like I was being rushed to had a
he
moment.
Didn't use her as an excuse
right.
to get away.
I mean, one of my favorite pictures is with Roy, not because he's a Disney celebrity, because unfortunately, I meet a lot of Disney celebrities, but he's the one that actually took time to get to know you as an individual,
right?
And that meant a lot. And and that being said, I'm also very proud of the way Bob Iger has handled this. They're flying the flags at half mast for a week.
At the parks and the studios.
Yeah, and I know that at times they didn't see eye to eye, but the fact that they're taking the high road and acknowledging his important legacy to the company, I think is very, very important. I know it's what he should do, but at times there's been executives who hold the grudge and they don't do what they should do. So kudos to him for just taking a moment to realize that the company lost one of their important figures in history.
I have kind of a frivolous question, though, in regards to his passing. He's featured prominently in the Golden Mickey show, and it's presented in such a way that it's supposed to be kind of a live, ship-to-shore interaction. What do you think they'll do?
Well, didn't they because that show predated the second Save Disney War, so I believe that they have a contingency.
Okay.
I'm not on board. I can't tell you what they're doing tonight.
No, I just wondered.
It's
weird. One of those Disney fan things you just kind of think of. It's
they
like,
did drop
I wonder.
Him for, during they, the yeah. whole Save Disney thing. He was dropped, so whatever they
so
did.
So they had something.
I wonder
at
what.
One point.
And
I
he's been battling this year, I'm sure. As you can tell, when you read the LA Times obituary, it credits a former LA Times writer, which means that this obit's probably been prepared for
quite a while.
before one of their LA Times downsizings. And so I'm sure that they were not surprised. I know that the company knew that this was coming
right.
Eminently. So,
well, he is survived by his wife, Leslie, and four children from his previous marriage to Patricia Disney. Mm-hmm. And so he also, and they have 16 grandchildren, and they've asked that in lieu of flowers, that donations be made in his name to the California International Sailing Association. And you can find information about that online. And that association benefits youth sailing. So his ashes are going to be scattered at sea, which just seems so appropriate for a seaman.
And I wonder if, well, I don't expect another, you know, someone from the Disney line to assume the sort of corporate role that he had. I wonder if there's one that's going to sort of become the one that the Walt Disney Company goes to for that grounding that they sometimes want for special
events. What is the company, 80 years old or whatever? I mean,
85?
Yeah. It's amazing. After 85 years, there's not a Disney high up in the company anymore. That's pretty monumental.
Well, I mean, that's when the second Save a Disney thing was going on. That was the big, you know, this for the first time, Disney doesn't have a Disney, and then they brought a Disney back. I'm sure he wasn't very active, but, you know, there's no, I'm sure there's someone with the last name of Disney, but no real Disney.
Right.
Left.
Cool. Well, we remember Roy Disney today.
Yeah, and our thoughts and prayers go out to their clan. We met a lot of them during the Save Disney battle, so. Mm-hmm.
Vote. And as is our typical thing, that ends the serious portion of our show. We now return to the silly and frivolous portion of the Laughing Place.
Hey, did you guys hear that they're going to have the annual meeting in San Antonio?
Oh, I don't
the stars
that
at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
It's gonna be, but
you know why it's in San Antonio, right?
That's what I was going
to
ask
you. So we
you.
Can all go celebrate SeaWorld's new independence from Anheuser-Busch and go to SeaWorld San Antonio.
Well, I was trying to think of some sort, you know, because it was in New Orleans last year, Princess and the Frog, right? 2 years ago.
It was in Albuquerque.
2 years ago? It was in Albuquerque last year.
Yes.
It was Albuquerque last
year.
For
no particular reason.
High School Musical takes place in Albuquerque.
For no particular reason.
So I was trying to figure out what the San Antonio thing might
Disney
be.
Disney is buying the Spurs. I'm pretty sure.
I have no idea.
The Alamo?
I don't think that's what you're trying to remind Disney.
They're releasing that on Blu-ray?
Davy Crockett.
The Lone Ranger.
Oh, there's a thought.
The Lone Ranger.
Yes, they will come up with some silly
Lone Ranger and Tonto
Disney backstory style tie-in, but no.
Do you think it is what back when they used to not have them in Disney-centric locations, people would say that Iger was trying to avoid that?
I don't think San Antonio, because I mean, we said that they were doing it in Connecticut in March.
I'm just asking because I know that's what people
Minnesota.
Say.
I think San Antonio is a little.
Is enough of an urban hub that it doesn't feel like he's trying to hide.
Yeah, what are they doing? Just taking Disney on a world tour now?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Okay. They're trying to bring the meeting to their shareholders.
How many do they have in San Antonio?
The Bass. Oh wait, they're not involved anymore, huh?
No, and they were more.
They're in Dallas. I know they're in Dallas, but it's not that far.
Texas.
All right. All right.
So yeah, book your airfare now.
I already did,
but not before we do because we don't want the prices to shoot up.
Yeah, I know.
But so it's been a long time since we've had a show. So much has happened.
I know.
Not as much as you might think, though.
But yeah, I mean, Disney has returned to create movies like they used to. You know, like Down and Out in Beverly Hills, and Pacifier.
Since we last talked to you, we've had the privilege of not seeing one, but two classic Disney films that we can't wait to talk to you about. Yeah.
Princess and the Frog and The Little Mermaid on DVD.
So let's get started. First, Princess and the Frog. All four of us got to see that one.
Aye, aye.
Who wants to start? Captain, why don't you get us started with this one?
All right. Well, I will admit, you know, Princess and the Frog is one of those long-awaited movies. You know, people everywhere was talking, this is the return to classic animation and everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't have to hear that anymore.
Yeah, and now it's here, and now I don't have to hear that anymore.
Yeah,
and
it's exciting.
But it's good to know that it was actually, you know, it was good. I didn't go in there with, you know, too high expectations.
Was it a return to classic Disney animation?
It depends on how you define classic animation.
Classic re-begins at Little Mermaid, skips Rescuers Down Under, and concludes at The Lion King.
It's not nearly at that level to me, personally.
It's better than Polka.
Did it reach the next, the downward slide of the classic Pocahontas?
Yeah, it was Pocahontas level, I would say. It was good. It's just not anything mind-blowing particularly, but it was good.
I'm sorry I ever told you that. Who's
but,
next?
But you know,
it was good.
It was, and it's not what I think. What is really good about it, though, is that it's nice to see they're not afraid of doing a musical. It's nice to see. I mean, really, it's refreshing.
You know, this musical could have used a little bit more.
What? It could have used a little
music.
Bit less of.
What are you talking about?
I thought it had so many songs.
Yeah, there was like a scene, and then there was music. No, okay. And then
maybe the quantity's not right, but I thought the placement.
It could have used one five-minute song to get rid of 30 minutes of boredom.
Exactly. It missed the We're Falling in Love song.
What?
It didn't have to have a song because we got to watch them fall in love.
I didn't feel like that really worked.
So what did you think of the movie, Fanboy?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought the first 30 minutes that we saw at D23 was probably the better 30 minutes we saw. So... It was better than I expected at first. Probably not as good as I expected as from the first 30 minutes we saw at
D23.
It didn't meet up with your expectations based on what you saw at D23.
Correct. Okay. I don't want to make you sound like I don't like it.
No, I understand.
I thought the first 30 minutes were really good.
I just have to say that it's funny that they never really refer to the villain by his name because nobody really remembers it anyway.
Dr. Shadow Man.
And said, "Oh, Shadow Man, that's easier to remember." That funny.
How about you?
Man, wasn't that like a USA sci-fi series in the early 80s?
It does sound like that, doesn't it?
Magic 0214 enjoyed the movie and loved Mama Odie and wishes Mama Odie was a walk-around character, thought she was a great character.
Talk about an accident waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of funny.
I always talk about the, you know, decrease in visibility in the rubber hat.
But I, you guys are funny. Oh, dear. But for me, that part of the film was the flat part of the film. I really enjoyed the characters and the animation in the staging of it. But the actual song, the Dig a Little Deeper song,
Dig a little deeper.
It was kind of like the... Yeah,
I had a hard time with that song.
I felt like it was trying to be the Be Our Guest moment, but didn't get there.
Yeah. Really? Well, and here's the thing. The Mama Odie's wrong. All that work, and it don't work.
What do you mean?
Yeah. So she I don't want to spoil it, Austria.
No, please.
Spoiler alert. Kisses the frog, and nothing happens.
Who kisses the... Wait. What? Okay, I'm with you now. But she was too late.
I thought she had till the clock strike. As we all know from Disney animated features.
No, it's done. No, it's done.
I saw Christmas Carol. He was alive till the last strike. I saw Cinderella. She got to go.
No, her coach started disappearing at the strike.
Yeah, but it wasn't
midnight.
Gone until midnight. So she could have turned into like a half-frog,
half-human. The magic is done. It's just it that portion lingered on, so you can't. I'm sorry. You're done.
Should have saved 5 minutes. Didn't have to give all the exposition. Like, you know, if they had a song for that middle 30 minutes, they would have made it on time. Saved a lot of time.
You know what's sad? This should have been.
Yeah, that first part of our show.
This should have been. This should have been great.
It disappointed you, huh?
Only because it wasn't as good as it should have been. It was a good movie.
Right.
I don't want to overstate it. This was a solid
movie. No,
it's
a great
movie. I would see again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's cool.
But it hurts for it to be so close to greatness. Because if you divide this movie into thirds, you've got a great movie at the beginning and a great movie at the end.
It's a second
half.
Then
there's that stupid middle. The point at which Fanboy goes, by the way, we need to straighten this out. Because when we... do the act thing. Are we saying which act just finished or which act is about to start?
Think which act is about to start,
okay.
Right?
That's what I would think. But
we never say act one.
But you'll be like 30 minutes in and you'll go one.
Because the prologue is over.
A heck of a prologue. Okay, I just want to check. Okay, anyway, back to our show.
They didn't have nearly as much of a problem with the middle, apparently.
I like the middle. It's Hank I don't like.
It's got Ray as a great character.
Yes.
Mama Odie.
Except I had a hard time understanding him, but that's my own issue.
Yeah, it's because you...
I know, I have a hard time understanding accents sometimes.
Mama Odie, that's where I think it started picking up. It came back to life is when they introduced her, but... What was the point of the little short in there with the hunters?
that was their falling in love moment.
Okay, no, not the hunters. That was later. I mean, what? What are you talking about?
The hunters. That was when he starts to fall for her.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have some sort of mutual evil that brings you close together.
You know how to do that?
A saw, yes, I know. Like
I thought I saw.
Yes. But they had one.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And a bit a song.
Alarming.
And that the Human Again song was really bad.
The What Will Do When We're Human?
Yeah, that one I did not like at all.
That was a good song.
When we're human.
Yeah. Oh, that, you know what that said
to
me?
You know what?
I love L.A.
So,
there's nothing Christmas about this movie.
Happy Feet is now being clicked.
Oh, good.
Happy
Please.
Feet does not belong on 25 Days of Christmas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, they didn't have a countdown to Happy Feet. They should have prepared us.
Unless someone wanted to expound further, I wanted to get down to numbers on this movie.
I want to know.
Christmassy, though.
I really enjoyed Princess of the Frog. I haven't really said much anything about it yet.
Go on,
I agree with Lasseter's description of it as a princess for the modern age, because the way our fairy tales are influenced by our circumstance. So you look at, you know, the various eras of when the Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, whatnot, these would have connected, you know, with that audience. And I think that they did a really great job of bringing this fairy tale to life in this age. So she has a dream and they don't, I was worried with all the talk of the modern princess, I was worried that they were going to, in essence, dump on the have a wish, have a dream mentality, which I couldn't fathom that would be a good move for the Disney company, which is entirely...
Where dreams come from.
Yeah, it's like, how can you dump on that? But yet, a lot of the comments I was hearing, a lot of the rhetoric and the interviews and whatnot I was hearing leading up to it led me to be very concerned that, in essence, this was going to be a film about a girl who... you know, pulled her up our own bootstraps and just worked all the time and blah, blah, blah. You know, and it was nice to see that in essence, part of the plot of the film is that it's not only hard work, but you also have to have that dream. You have to have that vision because that's part of what fuels you. And it's the two working hand in hand in essence that ultimately, you know, will bring you what your heart desires.
I agree.
And so I was
ice cream.
I was really happy to see that. Tiana's a terrific princess. I'm
and
sad.
Buff too.
My only sadness is that she spent so little screen time as a human, because she is such an attractive princess and an attractive character. To have so much of the film in the form of a frog, where she can't have that same kind of expression and motion and movement that you do, you
She's
know, human versus
frog.
Amphibian. I grant you. And I have to agree with our own Kirby, who wrote his review, and he said, if it weren't for the frogs, this would go right to Broadway. Because it has that kind of that feel, but how do you bring... You
Randy
can't
Newman
really,
on Broadway.
You can't really bring those...
They'll figure it out.
Billy Taymor.
Mermaids.
But I really enjoyed the film. I would give it an 8. Maybe a 9.
No. There's no maybe. What would you give it?
I'm torn just because I feel like I need to see it again before I can solidly nail it into an 8 or a 9. But okay. I know I really enjoyed it, but I would like to see it one more time.
So at this point, it's an 8.5.
So, because I went in with certain expectations, and now that I know what the film is, I want to see, do I still really enjoy it, or do I actually not enjoy it as much as I think I did? You know, that kind of thing.
I know you were really looking forward to Charlotte. What did you think of her?
Oh, she's a doll. Oh, she was awesome. What a great character.
She's a great character.
I'm
glad that they didn't make her evil. I mean, not evil.
Evil.
But like,
mean. Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
Ugly.
Yeah.
She's just a really nice, good friend who played a role in the movie.
I enjoyed the Lewis character.
Wait, I like Lewis.
Uh-huh.
Don't like the hunters.
The villain is
yes,
awesome.
Yes, you really
what the
did
name
like
of the band
hunters.
Was at the end?
Yeah. Oh, that was one of the things. It was funny. I enjoyed the reference to the Firehouse Five. And then the piano player looked like Frank Thomas, right, which was very cool. And then the other thing was that there was a Mardi Gras float, and I recognized the faces on the Mardi Gras float, but I couldn't quite place them. And then I think it was yesterday or recently, Jim Hill wrote a column. And yeah, it's Musker and Clemens.
Oh.
It's Musker and Clemens on the Mardi Gras float. So I appreciated Jim Hill pointing that out because I knew I recognized the faces, but I couldn't quite place them, and you weren't there to ask. So
I got to see this movie. Oh, are we still doing numbers?
I'd like to.
Okay, yeah. Continue.
What's your number?
I'm going to go with 8.
Yeah, I think 8 is fair.
Doobie.
Staring at me like...
It's a painful 8.
A painful 8?
Should've.
It's the best Disney movie since The Lion King. Way to go out on a limb there.
Better than Bolt?
Oh, there's a commercial for Princess and the Frog on the telly right now.
Better than Atlantis?
It's a painful 8, because based on the G23 30 minutes, this was going to be just... This was a 10. You know, 9.5. Nothing's a 10. But this was just awesome.
Right.
More princess, less frog. Get rid of human. Condense that, like, 20 minutes in the middle down to a 3-minute song, and we've got, like, a 10 plus. But as it is, I'd give it an 8.
Can I do a PRC?
Yeah.
Time named this the number one movie of the year. Huh. There's another movie released by Disney that is also sort of up for contention. Popcorn or Churro, Up or Princess and the Frog?
For me, definitely Princess and the Frog.
Nothing beats a 2D musical, Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog.
Okay.
What about you?
What it's hard. I really liked Up.
I know.
Up was good, yes.
I like this movie, but I don't... You know, but I don't know
didn't
how much...
like with this movie.
No, I... not
whereas
like
I wanna,
like.
Whereas I want to date it a few more times before I make that decision.
We're not going steady or anything. I don't know how much of my enjoyment of it is just based on the fact that it's kind of, you know, goes back to the classic sort of Disney movie that I saw when I grew up, as opposed to sort of more emotional Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't get myself to say that if I take that out of the equation, that it was a better constructed movie than Up. So I'm going to have to go with Up. But
I agree. I could go with that. Yeah, I understand that.
I did get to see
that because if you really want to like dig a little deeper into this movie, really nitpicky about it because it has a lot of strange things about this movie. But overall, I just went with enjoyability in the movie theater experience.
Which is kind of
important. I come out of there just saying, that was a good movie, yes.
I was a little disappointed with the villain development.
Really?
I wanted him to fall.
The villain was awesome.
That would have completed it.
The villain was cool.
The villain was very cool, but there could have been more villain and less hunters.
That's a recurring theme. Less hunters.
I couldn't believe it. I go to DisneyPictures.com, and what's the is still image they choose for Princess and the Frog? The hunter with the bump on his head.
I didn't feel like I got the villain's motivation. Why was he bad?
Because he's evil.
Well, okay, but... Oftentimes you have some sort of feel as to why.
He wants money.
Yeah, money.
He wants to by taking over New Orleans.
Okay. Money.
Money, money, money.
The oldest motivation in the world.
No, second.
After jealousy and covetedness things like that.
And then the prince's sidekicks motivation for his actions in the film.
That's
bit of a hard time. Yeah. With getting behind as well. It kind of took me by surprise.
If they had the scene where he was talked into it.
It's just very basic.
Oh, was that?
No, if they did. I mean, I don't know if it was
okay.
Or not, but no, I mean, that obviously happened at some point in the plot.
Right.
But that would have explained it more. Because it's no secret who he is. I mean, any idiot can figure that out.
Right.
Doobie.
What are you talking about?
The fact that the sidekick is made to look like Naveen.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're wondering who Naveen is. We
Who
he is.
Yeah, I figured that.
I'm showing everyone knows that.
Right.
So so it would have been better if they just like, you know, like you can have this, you know, a little bit more. He does a little bit when he's trying to talk him back into it,
mm-hmm.
but that happens a little too quick.
Yeah, I think that's one of my nitpicks with the movie, that it seems to go very fast for no particular reason.
Grind to a halt.
Because even the animation itself, it seems very frantic. You see a bunch of people doing like a bazillion things at the same time for not any natural. It didn't look particularly natural to me, and that just kind of keeps up until the end of the movie, and that's kind of odd.
For a movie as good as it was, it felt a tad amateurish, which is sad.
Interesting. I wonder if it's just a little rusty.
Well, been a while.
I tried to avoid any possible, you know, articles about the movie because I wanted it very, you know.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear, it was Disney's first Black Princess.
But was this supposed to be made by people was the crew involved with a bunch of other animated films, or is it like fresh blood?
These are Musker and Clements. Yeah. They're about as veteran.
Well,
they're
the director, but I mean the other.
The screenwriter wrote for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Wow.
So you
love that.
So listen to the story. I hear DJ Jazzy Jeff makes a cameo.
I thought it was kind of funny the way that it had that bit of kind of that yellowish, orange, golden hue.
CSI Miami look to it.
Yep, exactly. When they were going through the swamp, it was like, oh, that's kind of a CSI Miami hue.
And then Ray shows up and takes off the shade. Makes some corny comment.
I wish I didn't have such a hard time understanding that character because people were laughing and I really didn't know why. It was quite frustrating from time to time.
He's in love with a star.
I understood that part.
So are we to believe that that star used to be a firefly?
Yes. Anything can happen. I saw the movie at the Walt Disney Studios for the Princess and the Frog and the Ultimate Disney Experience. Not to be confused with the Ultimate Disney Fan Experience, which was the D23 Expo. Something completely different. And I got to say, I had a feeling I don't normally get at a Disney event.
And what would that be, fanboy?
I was a minority.
Wow.
Nice, scrawny little... Wow. White behind.
That's great. Unlike as we've talked about before, the D23 event where Doobie was, I think minority is not.
I'm often a party of one at Disney events.
Martha Blaine was there.
That's why we had Gideon.
Good. I'm glad. I'll be interested to see how it impacts the Disney audience moving forward. If it'll be an introduction.
It'd be nice because it's not anti-Disney. There's nothing non-Disney about it.
Right.
It lends itself very well to a theme park environment. So it'd be nice if that, you know, because I mean, in the newspaper they talk about a lot of people were coming down to the theme park to celebrate the first Disney black Disney princess. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice if, you know, new consumers become acquainted with the company because of this movie.
I'm interested in two things. Merchandise sales. And box office, because it opened at, 28 million?
24.
Which is good, but
it was not
great.
What they expected. It was a little. It was at the low end of expectations.
And it certainly wasn't for lack of marketing.
Right.
And if this movie does not do BAFO, I truly fear.
Big variety.
Truly fear for that this is it.
This is your shot. You ruined it.
This is it until Iger's gone and they're all gone and someone says, hey, remember? Let's try that again. So please go see this movie.
Wasn't Jim Cummings the voice of Rey?
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes, you think, Tigger.
You think kind of if they'd pick somebody actually Cajun.
He actually does have roots in that area.
There you go.
Learn something
they
new.
They should let Randy Newman do that voice.
He was a voice somewhere.
He was a voice.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, Princess
was a voice?
Who?
Anakin Aniwaris.
Thank you. Princess and the Frog was the better of the Disney movies we saw, but that doesn't mean the other one was bad. The three boys here got to see the other Disney major release recent.
You were there?
No.
You didn't go?
No.
What did we go see with you?
Princess and the Frog?
Yep.
Didn't the three of us go see something recently?
Did we?
Nope.
All right.
I went to see you, Fantastic Mr. Fox, without you.
By the way, he designed Mardi Gras floats. He was a Louisiana Riverboat deckhand, and
Jim Cummings.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
When he lived
Cummings,
in New Orleans.
Renaissance,
you
man.
Learn something new every day.
All right. So the two boys here, Fanboy and myself, saw the future
Disney
classic.
See, I was the smart one. Notice
the future Disney classic called Old Dogs, starring perennial Disney filmmaker Robin Williams. In fact, he has a movie coming out soon about... Oh, no, wait.
Oh, wait, no, they canned that one.
And
John Travolta.
John Travolta.
There was a film planned with Robin Williams, but Rich Ross has pulled it.
What was it, The Wedding Singer?
Wedding Band. B-A-N-N-E-D.
Yeah. And now it's been banned.
I bet the headline writers didn't have any puns there, did they? What'd you think, fanboy?
You know what the best part of the movie was?
End credits?
Leaving.
When we were... When
refill?
You're like, gee, I wonder if the refill place is still open, because we got a large soda, I think. So we're like, then I said, you know what? I'll join you and find out. So we got it, and then we went out to see if it was open. It was not. So we decided to check the other concession stand on the other side of the theater to see if it was open.
You meandered slowly to the other one?
It also was not. And then we came back in, and the mixed up medicine scene was still on.
So it goes without saying that this was a bad movie. The only question is, how bad? Was it worse than Wild Hogs?
No.
Did you see Wild Hogs?
Yes.
Yeah. I forgot you did.
And Wild Hogs was far, far worse. I actually thought this movie, while bad, had a bit of redeeming value. I did not hate it. I liked it. It was a feel-good movie that made me feel a little bit good.
It was a bad movie that wasn't awful. I mean, we're not talking Smart People or
The Invisible. Or Wild Hogs. Right. No, it wasn't awful. This was...
Knowing?
Still the worst movie of the year.
What about
so
Knowing?
Far.
What about Knowing?
No, much worse. Knowing was much worse.
Okay.
Was that this? That was this year, wasn't it?
The beginning of this year.
Yeah, so yeah, Knowing is worse than this. So what would you give it, though, if you had to really nail it down 1 to 10? I mean, be serious.
2.
That bad?
It was bad.
That's pretty bad. There's only one number lower than 2.
I understand.
And that's 1 and 0.
I mean, I'm not calling it a number 2. I'm just saying it is 2.
No, it's not that bad. It was like a 3.5. Maybe a 3.49 bar.
It did have some good moments, but they were too concentrated. So you went a long while without having a good moment.
If it didn't have the medicine mix up, what would you have given it?
5. I think, and you know what? This movie does have an important value to me, though. When Dick Cook was let go, we were all asking why. I found out.
That's horrible.
But true.
They promoted this like crazy at the expo.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Did you not see it?
Bad.
Because this movie was in the can for a while. They just delayed it because...
That's where it belongs.
Wow.
Did we even get any good trailers?
Wait. So you say it's a 3.5 and it still belongs in the can. So what does a 1 deserve?
Smart people we walked out of. Called the bank job instead.
Do you know what its tomato meter is?
I believe it was 6%.
Really? It was single digit?
6? Wait.
It is 5.
Oh.
It is a 5%. And that's with 76 reviews counted. The average rating is 2.4 out of 10.
A single digit.
That's not right. It's better than that.
4 people called it fresh.
But tomatoes. Like,
wait, no. Who said, was it that one guy who hates every movie that everybody likes? And vice versa?
I don't know. But yeah. So,
I know that guy. Because I was reading the comments and like, I was waiting to see why you could possibly find a fault in this movie.
Exactly. For some reason, that one guy. Don't know. I don't remember.
It was like the New York Village Voice or something.
He hated Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
How's Avatar doing? Is that still in like 100%?
It's at 84%.
How many reviews?
I didn't look at how many reviews. I just looked at the number.
So, my attempt to totally derail the show failed.
Sorry.
So in our studio,
Princess of the Frog has 83.
Studio heavy show this week.
Yes.
Next up, the
Prep
Disney
and Landing.
ABC, not Disney Channel, almost a Disney Channel. Prep and Landing, which aired December 8th on ABC.
Except WFAA Dallas, where it was delayed. And they are going to rebroadcast it at 2 something in the morning for them. And then it's being rebroadcast on ABC Family. And
if you're listening to this live,
ABC
right
now. which is really frustrating because I couldn't find it in any of the...
It's also on Hulu.
Laughing Place now offers daily TV schedules. You can go to Laughing Place and find out kind of what Disney-related content is on TV. And I didn't have this in my list because it isn't in any of my guides, including my guide. If I, on my own TV right now, if I hit guide, it says something else is on. So...
Before we jump in on Prep and Landing, we need to play a voicemail.
Hi, Laughing Place crew. This is Melanie. I thought I would send a voicemail this week instead of an email, since Doobie's always asking. asking for voicemails. Thanks for all your tips for the park. They were really great. We ended up with rockers for Exposition Hall at Exposition Hall for the parade in the evening during the Very Merry Christmas party, and that was just an amazing view and comfortable, which was great. The only tip that was a bummer was the Beverly. Thanks very much, fanboy. I think my taste buds are still unhappy about that. We tried to do Flights of Wonder a couple times. It was down because of wind, so that was not too surprising. We went to see Ice, which was fantastic. Thank you for the tip on that. That was just really incredibly amazing. Just impressive what they could do. We enjoyed Toy Story Midway Mania. That was great, great, great. And we took a side trip for 2 days to Universal, which I'm not sure I'll ever do again. I was really disappointed in, you know, since we were kind of, we shoved them in the middle of the trip, to see how they lack the attention to detail, to service. I mean, every 10 minutes someone was stopping us for a survey or did we want to know about their vacation club and, you know, all of those things. And you just don't get that kind of high pressure at Disney, which was great. And I'm worried because they don't have upkeep. You know, I saw lots of chipped paint, lots of dirt, lots of mess, and I don't know if it was the down season or if that's just the way they normally behave, but I'm really worried about what they'll end up doing to the Harry Potter exhibit, simply because, you know, that's just such a, you know, it looks like they're putting a lot of work into the front end of it, and I worry about what they'll do on the back end. But that's all for now. I just wanted to share some of our highlights. We just had a great time, and your tips were really, really awesome. And keep up the good work. Thanks.
Unless I missed something, she did not mention prep and landing. So, Captain, how about playing P3.mp3?
I don't know what happened to P1.
Hi, it's Melanie. One more time. Sorry about that. I had a list of things, and I totally forgot to do the thing on the top of the list, which was prep and landing. That was adorable, adorable, adorable. I wished it was longer. I wish there was more kind of fleshing out of that story. I'm curious as to what the podcasters thought of that.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
There we go.
All of
that. I knew it was in there somewhere.
I give prep and landing a 10. Oh, maybe a 9 because it was too short, but a 10.
Get it? They're elves.
You really give prep and landing a 10?
I loved it. I thought it was a perfect Christmas.
But you just said it was too short.
Well, not that the story wasn't told well in the amount of time that it had. I would just like it to be longer.
In television, you generally have sort of a fixed
That's I'm not meaning that it seemed like, oh, they should have told more of the story or whatnot. I want them to tell more of the story, so that's why I would not.
And on that point, at D23, they really fleshed out this world and all these characters, and you go, like, that's just someone says hello in the special. So, I mean, the whole world is there for them. If they decide to revisit it or not, to, I guess, Stephen McPherson. But
to me, it was missing one thing. It was a 9.5. It was very good. It
needed, Christmas time.
It needed a song. That would have been a perfect
play. Right. Part of the music from a Charlie Brown Christmas in Prep and Landing.
Yeah.
You're right.
Do you know how long it took him to negotiate the rights for that?
Don't even want to know. But, yeah, one song would have made it a perfect end.
You're right. I'll have to.
You can download the song that's not played very long for free at abcmusiclounge.com.
Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Shell.
But I thought it had nice little humor.
Because they're elves, yeah.
Because they're elves.
Rosebud's a sled.
That was awesome.
I thought that was awesome.
Is that the line of the decade?
Yeah.
I loved that.
Figgy pudding. Oh, speaking of figgy
pudding.
Figgy pudding.
If you haven't seen Phineas and Ferb's Christmas Vacation, it has many great parts.
Yes, it
does.
But
one of the parts is
Doofenshmirtz
is kind of upset because he doesn't hate Christmas and he's the only evil mad scientist to not hate Christmas.
Right.
So these carolers come by. And they say, so bring us some figgy pudding and bring it right here. We won't go until we get some. We won't go. And so he's like, I don't have any. Go away. I hate you. I hate Christmas. And so then he does his nature thing. And then at the end, he goes to his refrigerator. I had figgy pudding all along. We could have had a big can of figgy pudding. And we could have skipped this whole charade.
Phineas
and
Ferb
is the greatest show that I don't like. Ever. Ever.
I'm not quite sure why you don't like it.
But I don't deny its greatness.
You would like this episode, I think. I need to make you watch it.
I bet it had a song.
Oh, yeah.
It had three.
Yep.
I saw you just saw P&L profit and loss just before
that,
the show. What'd you think?
Is that what they call it on the streets?
The savings and loan scandal.
What I think? I thought it was good, yeah.
Okay. Nine?
I think it was an eight, yeah. It's because
same as Princess and the Frog?
Yeah, same as Princess and the Frog. What?
Better than Grinchmas?
Grinchmas?
Or whatever. How the Grinch Saved Christmas.
Okay. You can't compare it to how the Grinch
ask
stole
me again
Christmas.
Again in 20 years.
Magic 0214 says that it's his new favorite Christmas special that's not The Year Without Santa Claus.
I'm Mr. White Christmas.
No. See, it was. You're right. You can't tell. Because it's hard. Right now, I don't think this is like Rudolph category.
No. Oh, seriously?
No.
Charlie Brown
but
category.
Was Rudolph?
But yeah.
Yeah.
I look forward to this coming next year.
It's not big enough to be. This is what I'm saying right now. It's not big enough to be a classic. Rudolph and Charlie Brown, those
have
are
you
big.
Not looked at the ratings?
No, not big that way. It's not big enough. It's just about one boy and one
as
house.
As opposed to Charlie Brown Christmas.
It's not maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I feel differently. But to me, this just felt like a very narrow story.
It was very it was very formulaic and generic.
That's what you want in a Christmas special.
That's not
you
a problem.
But when you think of how the Grinch stole Christmas and those, they're formulaic differently.
Also for a Christmas show.
They created
show?
The formula, in other words.
For a Christmas movie show? Kind of a lack of Santa.
Why?
I think that was cool. Like, he's sort of like the, he's not the main, he's the.
You know who voiced him? John Forsythe.
I was going to say Jim Cummings.
No, Jim Cummings dead.
Tom.
With a Cajun accent.
Wasn't John Forsythe Charlie?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. That's why I'm.
Wow, I can't believe you both got that.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
It's disturbing.
My name is Santa, and these are my elves. check out the legs on McGee.
But I don't mean generic and formulaic as in like other Christmas specials. I mean generic and formulaic as in I've seen cartoon episodes of like every like cartoon series ever has done the let's make Christmas and combine it with like Mission Impossible kind of thing.
Yeah, but this was executed better.
Yeah, you're right.
But
you're
it's
right.
Not enough. It's
I got
not
it
enough
too
for
high.
It to be. It's not enough for it to be the next Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's got to be. It's got to kick it up a notch.
You've convinced me. Bam, 8.5.
I'm sorry. Have you ever heard the concept of elves being there ahead of time and scoping out the area so that. That's how Santa is so efficient at traveling around the world.
What do you mean the concept? Isn't that how it's done?
But I mean, I've never heard it explained that way before.
You didn't read the book.
Oh, that's really how it goes? I'm sorry, I'm not up on my Christmas
check
mythology.
Check out Santa Claus on Wikipedia. It explains the whole thing.
Oh, okay. No,
it
seriously.
It kind of reminds
just,
me of a Christmas
no,
special
that was
I
very cool
D23.
Concept.
That's why I thought it was terrific, was because it took something that... You know, every year everybody jokes around about how long Santa would have to stop at each house and how, you know, get around the world. And you have NORAD who tracks Santa, you know, going around the world and all
that
kind of stuff. That
is where I want my tax dollars going. That is cool.
And then,
that's right. I don't care how libertarian you are. That, they,
and
they,
then it's like, and so something's just so simple. And then you have this entire mythology.
You know what I like about it is it uses... It explains.
You've convinced me, Rebecca. 9.5.
It explains how some things are done without making it seem like they're trying to explain how things are done. Like it explains it because it has to show it, not because they're just trying to explain it. Like the revving up of the reindeer and those cute little moments are
and
fun.
And Thrasher, the myth.
And that's why I think it was the perfect length.
I enjoyed it.
If you would have gone longer, it would have been too. Over the top.
Don't
get me wrong, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I just didn't think it was anything particularly, you know.
It was
different.
Nice to have a Disney animated special on ABC, like a real network, without sort of relying on established characters that did well. I mean, 14 million people. It did better than Better Off Ted. Mm-hmm. I mean, it did.
Wow.
It beat that, Oprah.
Oprah what?
The Oprah Christmas special. Oprah
it
at the
beat
White House.
The Oprah at the.
Now that's something.
10.5.
That's something.
No, it was really impressive. I'll be interested to see how it does in its repeat viewings. And if you want to have some fun, you can watch it on abc.com, and they have a written commentary provided by some of the characters in the film. It's adorable.
Yeah, Thrasher's the best part of that.
Including my character, Thrasher. And another awesome thing, I think this was on Disney XD. I didn't get to see it, but you guys were telling me that
Skyrunner
Sly Chasers was awesome.
I think it's Sky Riders.
Sky Riders was really, really
cool. No, it was terrible.
Was that slide? Oh, that
what,
was
what is this?
Oh, Disney XD had this brother pick. Two brothers.
One more blue and one more gray.
They're teenagers, and they somehow stumble upon a UFO, and then they get sucked into this battle to save the Earth from the aliens who want to make it, who want to pollution the Earth and kill all the humans.
And sadly, it was boring.
It really was boring, and the aliens were ugly and not that menacing, although they were supposed to be.
And they kept showing this, you know, coming, like, soon, and you're like, I want to watch that movie. Cause, and
they would,
it never
edit,
really
they would edit the most exciting parts into seconds. This, like, this little blip right before the commercial. Stay tuned. And then they'd show these really exciting scenes, and then you'd wait, and they would end up being really boring.
Yeah.
But it was very disappointing.
Actually,
I was so disappointed.
I think Old Dogs was better because of that movie. Maybe I should rethink Old Dogs.
I was going to say, as the one person who's seen all four of the studio's properties, five of the studio properties we're discussing today, I want you to rank them.
Technically, Phineas and Ferb is... And Skychasers is Media Network.
Shut up. Princess and the Frog.
Skychasers or Skyrunners?
Princess
Sky
and the Frog.
Thank you.
Media Network doesn't come under the division of studios?
No.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Okay. Princess and the Frog, Old Dogs, Prep and Landing, Skyrunners, and Phineas and Ferb Christmas Show. Best to worst.
Prep and Landing, Phineas and Ferb, Princess and the Frog, Old Dogs, Skyrunners.
Thank you.
Ta-da. And the Phineas and Ferb episode, Christmas episode, was just wonderful. You need to watch it. You really should.
I will.
You'll enjoy it.
That's
especially
a great
if
show.
You're like a longtime viewer. I mean, you don't have to be, but
right.
They have a lot of great moments that sort of like the opening credits is sort of like a winter version of the opening credits. Mm-hmm. And I want to watch that again.
Right? It does a good job of hitting all the right notes of the TV series. Oh, hey, speaking of which, have you seen the Muppets Carol of the Bells or whatever?
Yes.
I haven't watched that yet. I keep meaning to.
Is it as good as the Bohemian Rhapsody one?
It's not as good as the Bohemian Rhapsody one.
Okay.
I mean,
what, 3 billion views on YouTube now, I think?
Yeah, they actually pulled it. Like, I think it was becoming like so big, like there was like...
It's almost as popular as the Jar of Dirt remix video.
Didn't
they
pull
it? Yeah, it was weird. They pulled it for a bit and then they
put
it back.
Yeah. I don't know if they did. Did they finally put it back?
My understanding is that it
Why
ended
did they pull
up
it?
Back.
I'm guessing maybe they were tired of paying Queen.
But why did they
per
put it
view?
Back?
I don't know.
Per YouTube view?
Was
I don't know why
so many views.
Wait,
where Freddie Mercury probably died.
Yes, Freddie Mercury. But you can buy it for $1.99 on iTunes. And if you don't believe me,
is it like HD now or something? Maybe they like took it down and put up like a
They're still working on it. It looks like you can get it through video is available through iTunes in Europe, Middle East, Africa, Amazon.com, and US iTunes.
Not the right version.
But now we
and
get
then,
a
pay. Oh, and for you,
we're gonna get a voicemail
Muppet
from
fans out there.
Now.
Miss Piggy's gonna be on the Wendy Williams show on Friday. Oh wait, this will probably not go up until after she's already been on.
But if you look on the latest, hopefully you'll see it.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah. And then they have that app. Did you get the new app where the animal?
I did.
Do you like it?
I don't know. Give me a minute.
Oh, you haven't even played with it yet?
No.
He saved it for the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, it's made by Disney Interactive Studios. Isn't that interesting? It's sort of like Guitar Hero, except with drums and animal.
Oh, seriously?
Ooh, the Muppet Studios. They got a logo.
Yeah, I like the Muppet Studios logo. I'm a fan on their Facebook
This game
page.
Is best played with headphones. Oh, well.
You're wearing headphones.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, they don't say whether or not you plug them into the phone. Just best played with headphones.
Oh, it's like Simon. You do it, and then you keep, you know...
Oh, yes. Like Simon says you follow him.
Perfect description. All right, we're going to
cool.
Move on. This session of the show is brought to you by MouseyerVacations.com. Let's talk cruising.
Is that why reason why we're talking cruising?
No, it's not at all.
Okay.
There's actually cruise news, right?
Do we have to, like, do we have an editorial policy?
There are... Oh, no, we will... No. we no. There are two cruise items that are so similar, but they're different.
Oh, are they? Wait, okay, so this Port Adventure thing is different than the Adventure by Disney thing?
As best as I can tell.
I thought the Port Adventure was run by Adventure by Disney.
It probably is, but there are two press releases.
Because one was put out by the Cruise Line and one was put out by Adventures by Disney.
Like a week apart.
They were busy.
Is it the same thing?
I don't know.
So over the past couple of weeks, there have been press releases about Disney's travel vacation opportunities along the sea in the Mediterranean and whatnot in 2010. And one of them focuses on Adventures by Disney opportunities to, it's like an, I guess you would call it an Adventure by Disney SC.
ABDOC. ABDAC. ABDA.
Oh, it's like.
DBG. DBG.
It's like the Suite Life on Deck.
Yes, without Brenda Song.
So you'll visit.
I was hoping.
There's limited.
Only they had a summer of cruises with Disney Channel stars.
Select 10 and 11 night Mediterranean vacations are available with an Adventures by Disney, kind of a signature treatment, as it were. And you'll have special tours at the ports of call and then various itineraries throughout your journey. And then the second press release, although I don't know in which order these came because they're not dated.
The one you're reading now is the first one.
Okay.
About a week ago.
Talks about various port adventures that are going to be available during the Mediterranean cruising. And what it appears in reading the two press releases, what it seems to us is that you can either enjoy an Adventure by Disney at sea. So throughout the whole land and sea, you'll be under the watchful care of Adventures by Disney, as it were.
They're watch. Always watch.
Whereas these others appear to be, in essence, upscale shore excursions. So you're a Disney Cruise Line guest, and you want to enjoy a shore excursion that's maybe just a little bit more elaborate than the typical adventure. For example,
and this is the exciting part.
In St. Petersburg, Russia, the majestic Catherine Palace provides the setting for an elaborate royal ball. The noble estate served as Russia's imperial family summer
exciting.
Residence for more than 200 years. But on this port adventure, it's Disney Cruise Line guests who are treated like royalty as the palace serves as the stage for a grand gala hosted by Disney's princesses such as Cinderella, Snow White, and Belle, who will arrive by horse-drawn carriages. The princesses and their princes will entertain guests in the grand ballroom, and there will be musicians and people in period costumes to create that feeling of years gone by. Yeah, exactly.
This
sounds
cool.
Like fun.
This is, to me, this is a, maybe I'm stupid. No, that's not a maybe. Yeah. But to me, this is a huge thing. This is as big, almost as big as when Disney opened Castaway Cay.
You mean when the cruise line started?
Exactly.
Disney shore excursions.
Exactly.
Like mini adventures by Disney.
Why have a shore excursion with John's Tour Shop when Disney can put one on for you with all the entertainment of Disney in a location that you could never have at a park? This is amazing to me.
Is this a reaction from the mugging?
No, they couldn't put that together that fast.
Touché. But I might actually get off the ship now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously they do it at Castaway Cay, but now they figured out a way to bring Disney to shore excursions other than their own private island. To me, this is just a huge announcement, and there are so many places they can go with this.
Now, I could be wrong, but my interpretation from reading the two press releases is that, in essence, what's happening is the Adventures by Disney at Sea is going to fill some of their land adventures with Disney Cruise Line guests who aren't necessarily wanting that ABD for their entire experience. They're happy with the Disney Cruise Line, and then, hey, let me, you know, test the waters of ABD. The words Adventures by Disney do not at all appear in the Disney Cruise Line press release. And in fact, they call them Disney Cruise Line Port Adventures, and there is no mention of it in it. So I'm not, you know, speaking from any knowledgeable point of view.
But that's
just speculation. But it's a really neat idea.
And it's a natural thing, obviously, in Europe, where in the Mediterranean, where there's so many. But I hope they figure out a way to do this on their Caribbean cruises, too. They're bread and butter.
The Alaskans as well. And the Mexican Riviera, as they were.
Another nice element of it is that I think they noticed that a lot of people found the Disney Mediterranean cruise as an opportunity to take the entire family. And perhaps they were intimidated to do that kind of travel, just mom and dad, you know, and the kids to these, you know, historic locations. And when you put that much money into it, you don't want to completely sacrifice what you're interested in for the sake of your kids. But yet you don't want your kids to have a really horrible you know, trip either.
They didn't pay for it.
So it's neat to have the fact that, you know, in Florence, the parents will be able to have, you know, be able to really explore the masterpieces of that area while the children are entertained doing more fun things like creating their own fresco painting, yeah. You know, that type of thing.
Because right now, if you want to take a short excursion, I believe Disney does allow you to take a short excursion and leave your child in the daycare or one of the various children activities on the ship. But, you know, let them get off the ship and just do something for kids in one of the beautiful places, and you can do something for – it's just – just Disney being Disney. I'm happy to see this. The cruise line shows once again why they are the cream of the Disney crop.
You know what, though, is interesting? Because I was talking to some guests at a D23 event I was recently at, and they said as much as they love the cruise, they feel that Adventures by Disney is a better product.
Wow. Let's go.
I'm surprised by that.
Me too. But I haven't done an adventure. Yeah. I mean, if you would have told me 5 years ago Disney Cruise was going to be my favorite thing to do, I probably would have left it.
It's so hard for me to imagine that an ABD can feel as Disney as a Disney Cruise does.
Because they're not in complete control of the surroundings in the way you are with Disney Cruise Line.
Right. And at least in part, I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this, but are the ABD guides Disney employees?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they – I mean, much similar to – They have two guides on each trip who both work for Disney, and you might have an activity run by another person not owned by Disney, but you will always be with a Disney person.
Yeah, that's the part that always, I guess, I need to take one. I'm sure I'll see I'm wrong, but that's what scared me a bit. So we went to California to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the laughingplace.com.
weren't you just out there?
Happily we're done for a while.
The LPC OM, right?
PCM.
That was a lot of fun. It Eddie Carroll, fun. The voice of Jiminy Cricket, was there, and Bob Gurr was there.
No.
What would be Jiminy Cricket's like saying?
It's always like, let your conscience be your guide.
It's like, hi there. I mean, whenever he comes on the screen, it's just like, hello. I mean, does he have like a?
Oh, it's the blue fairy.
Oh, yeah, the blue fairy.
Well, I'll be.
Oh, there we go.
Wow,
a monkey's
folks.
Uncle. Yeah. So you said it was fun, Rebecca.
It was.
Singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain.
Now, my favorite. Ooh, retro. One of my favorite parts was you got a compliment on your podcast work, which is needed right this second.
Yes, it is. I'm sitting here writing my notes. You guys always know that I'm beginning to be like, going to crack that whip if you don't.
And even better, apparently, you know, she gets the compliment for the work. And obviously, we don't because we're terrible.
Oh no! Everybody loves the podcast. They were all coming over and saying how much they enjoyed the podcast and everything. But no, people
but,
did
no,
thank
but,
me
but,
for keeping you guys on track.
You see, yeah,
without us, there would.
Okay, you were saying, Rebecca?
That is not who was at the event. As I believe that man has passed away long, long ago. But Eddie Carroll was at the event.
But Freddie Mercury was at your event.
Was that ukulele? I mean, it was, but was that him as Ukulele Ike or as Jiminy Cricket?
I have no idea. How do you tell the difference?
Was that his voice?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
he
poor guy.
That's like, was that Gilbert Gottfried as Iago or Gilbert Gottfried as Gilbert Gottfried?
Okay, I did not know that was that was.
Yes,
poor,
he had a distinct voice.
That's not Gilbert Gottfried's voice.
Well, I mean, it's.
But well,
it
it's
is
Gilbert
the only
Gottfried's
voice.
Really
it's
not John Mortystein's voice or whatever his real name is.
So yeah, we had a great time
with
everybody, and we appreciate everyone coming out. The gift table was fun to watch people walk away with prizes. Somebody walked away with a Big Fig, Tomorrowland Big Fig.
Because they had the most Laughing Place buttons on them.
Yep.
Five. So, it's fun. Anything happened in California we care to mention? I can't think of anything, really. Mm-hmm. We saw the Sylvania sign, right?
Yeah, that was so weird. I didn't even know it was
That's
new.
Already up?
It was, yeah, we didn't know it was new.
I thought it was supposed to open next year.
The sign?
The sign
I remember
there.
Seeing it, too. Unless we're both stupid, crazy.
No. When you go into, it's a small world. As you enter into the first room, off to the side is a little Sylvania sign because it's sponsored by Sylvania.
Yeah, that's, but they're adding a big marquee that's coming next year.
Oh, yeah. Well.
The first illuminated marquee for It's a Small World.
Oh, very cool.
with the power of a 747.
That's exciting.
No, every year about this time, some controversial Small World story has to come up.
So one of my favorite things about It's a Small World Holiday is when you board the ride vehicle before the lights are on, and then when you get off the ride, the lights are on. I just love that.
Oh, on the attraction.
Yeah.
The sun.
No, the facade.
The facade.
Yeah, that is cool.
If the sun was up when you got to the attraction, the sun was down when you got out of the attraction, that would be the worst experience at its
level. That's for sure.
This time, the Candlelight Choir was passing, and so it was...
Hi, Becky.
It was turned off while we were in the queue just as we got on the boat, and it stayed off, and then it turned on just before we entered. And so you were like right on Gideon's little face. He was so mesmerized with everything. It was the first time that he stayed awake all the way through It's a Small World.
There was one thing about the show. And
then we got to go see Billy Hill and the Hillbillies.
Yeah, the Billy Hill meet was a lot of fun.
Which is always awesome this time of year with the snowball, the sleigh ride. And they turn off all the lights in the Golden Horseshoe. It's awesome. And then they turn them all back on when he claps again.
Oh, I guess like a clapper.
Uh-huh.
Not to be confused with a Chia Pet.
Right. Right. Not to be confused with a Clapper Plus where you can clap twice and control
warm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Actually, if you do that at the Golden Horseshoe, it shuts off all the lights at the Diamond Horseshoe and freaks everyone out.
Oh, man. Speaking of which, the parks here have been not...
popular.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been very well attended. It's been fun. But the restaurants haven't been.
Disneyland.
Which is weird.
No dining plan.
Oh, okay.
No free dining plan.
Okay, that would be why.
But I had to cancel my trip. I was supposed to go to Candlelight and hear mom famed Disney legend from Glory Road and National Treasure, John Voight, perform. Was there any buzz as to how he did?
He did a great job.
I heard he did a tad bit of, you might want to call it,
Political editorializing.
Not at the end,
night.
As some people are wont to do, but at the beginning.
What did he say?
I don't want to misquote him, so I don't know. But
what was the buzz?
The essence was the desire to depopularize Christmas.
Oh, by doing that at Disneyland during the holiday season. That's very apropos.
So, yeah.
And didn't we see
him? Would that be an accurate way to depict what the...
That's what I heard.
Okay. I just want to make sure that...
Secondhand.
Secondhand buzz kills.
But he was nice. I saw him at the Grand Californian twice.
Nice. He gave me $20.
Did he really?
Yeah, in my early career when I was in food service.
Oh, seriously?
Oh,
no way.
Did you say no thank you?
Oh, you had to say no thank you, no thank you, no thank you. That's like the rule. We learned that way back when that... Three times, turned it down three times.
You saw him?
It was a $5,000 bill, but no, I'm kidding. It was free.
You got to talk to him?
I said hi.
Okay. Yeah, both nights.
I mean, he was right by me.
Both nights we were in the Grand when he walked by. That's where you went.
Yeah.
So, well, that's the line for you. Thanks to everyone who came to the meet, though. We had a great time and look forward to the next one.
And we met some great people from Arizona. We did.
I agree. Donnie and Wendy.
Yep.
Donnie and Wendy from Arizona.
They are awesome.
So
you would have liked them, fanboy. Their kids apparently do a podcast.
Really?
Yeah. I guess they kind of mock us. I mean, not mock, but...
Well, you
know,
we do.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's very cool.
I wouldn't exactly blame them or anything.
Yeah, so yeah. Wish they weren't so far away.
Colorado.
We had that
much
fun.
I keep thinking
halfway
Colorado.
Across the world.
I know. It's a bummer.
No.
Their podcast needs to, like, call into our podcast.
We
could do, like, a big, like, crossover during sweeps.
Oh, yeah, we could. I bet it would help our ratings.
Yeah. Better than
guarantee it would help our ratings.
So that was fun.
So next week, well, we're not doing a Captain's Challenge. Apparently last week's Captain's Challenge had some controversy that's still being worked out on the discussion board, so we're going to...
Yeah.
We'll let you guys fight that out a little longer.
Yeah, who would have thunk it'd be such a complicated question? What was the second Mickey Mouse cartoon released?
Oh, and we met Pirate Princess.
Yep.
And Ferret Afros.
Yes, he goes to USC, but we like him anyway.
That's, yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
nice guy though.
But nice guy.
USC.
But you know, what can you do?
He's only really good meeting him once, right? It's not like he's a
or is meeting you. That's good forever.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I have two favorite listeners.
Oh, and the fan club from WW.
Yeah,
one of the
W was there.
But we didn't get to meet her.
But there
she was there on Saturday.
There was a live picture.
We weren't there yet. Yeah.
Cool.
So that was cool. It was a lot of fun.
So, and our next show, we won't have a show next week because it's Christmas. We won't have a show the week after because it's the week between Christmas and New Year. But then we'll be back with our spectacular, high-flying, double-flipping start-of-the-year show,
woo-hoo!
Which will feature two features that people look forward to all year long. Looking back at last year's predictions and seeing how wonderfully we did. Because I believe Dick Cook is now the president of the Walt Disney Company. And we will make our big predictions for 2010.
And we want yours, too.
So send them to us, podcast11place.com.
Yeah, or don't read them until we do ours. I don't want anyone to
influence.
Oh, yeah. Or you can call them in.
Oh, yeah, we'd love for you to call them in.
866-718-5488.
866-718-9408.
Let us know.
You can predict anything you want. You don't have to go by our rules, but we do have rules.
This is bold predictions.
That's the only thing.
Go out on a limb. I know some of us do that every
time.
Like,
you can't predict that ESPN's Wide World of Sports will finally have a marquee.
Right, or that Disney will open a new attraction. Well, no, actually, that would be cool. Now, we mean bold predictions, bold predictions. So we're going to do the categories we normally do, which are theme parks, studios, / media networks, corporate, and do we do a fourth?
No, that's it.
We predict the hurricane season.
And the hurricane season.
How many times will we hunker down?
But you can predict anything you want. And that, again, that's podcastlifeplace.com, 866-718-9408.
And you don't even have to stay in the world of Disney, because we love our listeners, and we would be interested to hear just in general what your predictions are for 2010. And don't listen to Nori, George Nori's show.
Yeah, we don't want any like that.
Those are scary predictions.
We don't want anything scary.
I don't want world coming to an end predictions.
And I don't want to know what the Senate breakdown's going to be after the next midterm election. Nothing like that.
Nothing important.
Disney-related, I believe, is what we're going for here, right?
Nothing about Tiger Woods.
No scandal.
Maybe play it safe.
We want to keep this in the realm of Disney.
No death pools. No, themed entertainment. If you want to talk about Universal, but no death pools, please.
Lost theories.
Lost theories
is good. Please join in with us on the prediction show next week.
We need to do more shows like the prediction show.
Which, meaning what?
I don't know, like annual traditions, like our big fall preview issue.
Oh, we do. You're right, we do.
Our fall preview issue. We need to look at. I don't think we did it as well organized this year. We were not as well organized this year because, quite frankly, I was pregnant.
So 2010 is the year of creating traditions.
So we'll return to our usual frivolity.
Yes.
2012 is the year of crossing your fingers.
2012 is the year it all ends. And with that, we come to a near close for our show. Podcast.place.com, 866-718-9408. Post in the discussion boards. Please, hojoanaheim.com, mouseearvacations.com. Support them both. They support us. Plus, they're both fantastic companies. MouseyVacations.com can even explain to you the difference between Port Adventures and Adventures by Disney Port Sea thing. And with that, I'd like to know if anyone has words of wisdom or lack thereof to share with the audience.
I have three events that I need to tell you about.
Three?
I'll do it briefly.
Three?
Okay. I did two D23 events and the highlight of my week last week. The first D23 event was the Disney and Dickens event, where we went to see the Christmas Carol at the
El Capitan.
El Capitan. And where the Virgin Megastore is, they have a neat little Star Trek exhibit.
Cool.
So, but I saw that at the El Capitan, saw their stage show, which, you know.
I thought they had a Princess Di exhibit.
No, at the one in Hollywood and Highland.
Oh, gotcha,
and
gotcha.
That one closed as well. I hear they're going to put it in a Star Trek exhibit. And then we went to the Tam O'Shanter and was graced by the dulcet sounds of the Disney employee choir, including Becky from the archives, and it was great food, great fun, very intimate event, probably only about 80 people, so it was nice.
The Tam is a nice little pub sandwich,
Scottish themed, owned by Lowry's,
that makes dining location awesome. In Burbank, so a lot of Disney legends.
Well, it's actually in the Los Feliz area of Los Angeles, so it's more like when the Kingswell Studio and the Hyperion Studio.
Well, but it used the classic Disney. Studio location. Hyperion.
Yeah, not the Burbank.
Right,
like
no,
pre-
not
Snow White.
Yeah.
But they'll show you Walt's favorite table, and it's kind of a fun place. And it's got good food, which doesn't hurt. You know, sometimes you go to these like places that are classic and then you eat there and like, could have gone to Mickey D's.
Because there's some gourmet food. Okay, yeah, so you enjoyed
tried
that
their eggnog
event.
Milkshake? Just saying.
Do they have them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, peppermint milkshakes.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah. Are they open? Is it Sunday?
Oh, we've had them.
And then I went to the Magic and Merriment event, and
was that here?
Yes.
Orlando.
In Orlando, Lake Buena Vista. And that was a great time to be had by all, about 200 guests. I've learned something new about the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights presented by Sylvania. I actually learned two very things I found very interesting.
Okay.
One, the nativity scene was purchased by Jennings Osborne at Epcot and brought to Arkansas and then came back.
Oh, that's funny. That's awesome.
And number two, what the Osborne family gets for this whole thing is they get a week at the Grand Floridian in a suite. However, Jennings then buys six other suites at the Grand Floridian to house the rest of his family, so it actually works out pretty well for the Walt Disney Company.
Well, that's awesome.
I'm pretty sure they'll give that deal to just about anyone. Buy 6 weeks, get one for free.
That's awesome.
They were telling a story about how when they were, you know, when the VP of the studios at the time saw that on the news, and he's like, maybe they'll bring it. They contacted Jennings Osborne. He's like, you know, would you be interested in putting your lights on at Residential Street? So they said, yeah, sure. So draft a letter to my lawyer. The guy comes back from vacation. There's a whole box of Christmas stuff, and it turns out Jennings Osborne thought they were going to decorate a residential street in Orlando, and so he wasn't particularly interested. And then found out he was talking about the residential street on the back lot. So I thought that was interesting. We got a tour of the Cinderella Castle Suite, as well as they gave us a room key, which was kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the highlight of my trip, I was on the Hertz shuttle going to Hertz, ironically enough, and I passed by the dollar rental car at LAX, and they were repaving their parking lot. And the little cement mixer said Hertz Equipment Rental.
Awesome.
We just love that story.
That's a great little story. That's like going to Disney World and watching Back to the Future.
Fanboy's not much of a communicator. Fanboy called me to tell me that story.
What you got, Pirate Boy?
What do I have, Pirate Boy? I saw the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
How was that?
That was good, actually.
Was it?
Fantastic.
Popcorn intro, Fantastic Mr. Fox or Princess and the Frog?
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Popcorn or Churro, Prep and Landing, or Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Popcorn or Churro, Phineas and Ferb, How I Spent My Summer Vacation, or Christmas Vacation, whatever it's called, National Lampoon, or Fantastic Mr. Fox?
I didn't see that, but I think they would be kind of like comparable.
Okay.
Fantastic Mr. Fox, I think it's very much a dialogue-based animated film in comparison to, like, when you see, like, wacky kids.
Because that's what animation form is good for, dialogue.
Well, it can. It can be. It's like Pixar, I would say, is more – the jokes are in the scripts, not necessarily in, you know, slapstick is what I mean. So, yeah. Anyway. So I think it was very good. I'd give it a 9.
Cool.
And if you're into some, it's very odd. So if you saw commercials and it's like, that looks interesting, just be prepared. It's very odd.
A Roald Dahl movie, odd?
I know. It's so odd.
So Magico214 dropped us a line and talked about going and doing his annual hotel walk around to see the decorations and thought the Contemporary was going to have a better display. You know, I liked it.
That's a big wreath.
Well, the wreath is big, but the
big, it's
the small world.
The small world thing, it's
not so
just
big.
It's really neat the way that they took Mary Blair's art and they have little gingerbread cookies with the different dolls artwork on it. It's cool. But the rest of it itself, compared to the usual Geppetto with the mold, you know, the molding chocolate and the Pinocchio that used to be there, it is rather simplistic. So I'm hoping that this is like, you know, year one, and maybe it'll, you know, kind of grow to a bigger exhibit. And then he also saw the whole Rock and Roller Coaster no queue thing. Apparently that's something that's being tried out here on a couple of attractions. It's a queueless system. You're given a group identification, and then you know what time.
If you're a medallion member, you get to go first.
then you know what time you're supposed to, in essence, have access to the attraction.
I don't think they tell you the time ahead of time. I think there's monitors that keep you updated on how long your estimated wait is.
Your estimated wait, yeah.
So it's just that you don't have to wait in line.
Right.
Wait, an attraction themed to a rock concert, and there's no waiting involved anymore?
Come on. You just don't wait in line.
So instead what you do is you play some of those video games like they have for Soarin' and Space Mountain, I guess, where the crowd has to, you know, lean left, that kind of stuff. And then they have a DJ.
Later, or do you have to stay?
Don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure all the ins and outs of how it works, but Studio Central was there, and they have a lot of pictures of the environment at the time during the Rock and Roller Coaster. And I've heard that it tested, I guess, at a couple of other locations as well. So
funny that they picked Rock and Roller Coaster. That's not one attraction where I think of very long lines.
I think one of the reasons they did, at least based on the pictures I saw, is it's got a courtyard, so it's kind of easy to
that makes
do
sense.
The activities.
Yeah, because Rock and Roller Coaster, you can't think of the last time I ever waited anything
longer. Yeah, it's all
that.
In prep for the rumored
Fantasyland
Dumbo
thing.
Dumbo.
Which
transition.
Is not
going to
come until 2050, I think, right?
Well, after 2012, who cares?
But so, they say they're on track for 2014 for everything to be finished. You know, speaking of which, I was thinking, you know how they there's a connection here. You know how they said, you know, Beauty and the Beast themed restaurant or whatever eateries. They need Tiana's place.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, they do.
They need Tiana's place because
Riverboat at Downtown Disney.
If you see Princess and the Frog and go out of there not thinking about, I really want gumbo right now.
I want gumbo and beignets.
Exactly.
Beignets.
That is, there's lots of gumboing and beignetting in Princess
fried,
and the Frog.
Fried Firefly.
Po' boy. Oh, yeah, fried Firefly.
There's lots of food.
So there's
frog legs. Frog legs.
You walk out of that movie hungry.
You want to go to Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen, but they don't have one here.
No.
They need a Tiana's place. I have come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I think it should be the riverboat in Downtown Disney.
That's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
But first, nobody has to make money, so go see it. So the crowd here decided, I told the people here a story during a break in our action, and they said I needed to share it with you people. So I'm going to do that.
Definitely.
So the company we used to handle our voicemail recently got, what?
I forgot what story it was. Now I remember.
Yeah.
They got taken over or they changed their name or whatever. Anyway, they introduced this free new feature where in addition to emailing me the voicemail, they email me an automated transcription. Not done by a person, but done by a machine. And they're not perfect because the podcast usually start with someone saying, "Hi, Laughing Place." Gets translated as "Hi, Effing Place." What am I supposed to say? You wanted me to share the story.
Yeah, but you need to make sure that people know that it doesn't really say.
F-ing. Oh, no, I was kind of confused. No, it says the actual word, but you're not going to hear that out of my mouth.
Right.
So when I first read it, the first time I read it, I'm like, this person hates our podcast. Look at how they're addressing us. And then I continued. But, yeah, anyway, so podcast at laughingplace.com.
And not the other one.
866-718-F-U- Sorry, 9408. Or post a message in the section F of the Laughing Discussion Board. And until next week, you will fill in the rest.